Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Heart Center, where expert cardiologists, cardiac surgeons, nurses, and support staff have built a nationally recognized program focused on prevention, treatment, and rehabilitation. For a virtual tour of the Heart Center, go to www.umm.edu/heart. I'm here with my Monday co-host, Anthony McCarthy. Anthony?
Great to be here, Mark.
As always. And
you Very important issue this hour.
It is. And you can hear, of course, Anthony all by himself. Well, he'll have guests. every Friday in this time slot from 5 to 7 p.m. He's never usually alone. Usually
no,
a lot
goodness.
Of callers and a lot of guests. But you can join him there. Of course, Anthony is the Center for Emerging Media's first fellow. And also his show, the Anthony McCarthy Show, is produced by the Center for Emerging Media and joins us here every Monday. And we are going to talk about the mortgage crisis facing America and what's being done both nationally and locally. It's going to be an issue facing the state legislative session. It's clearly an issue that's facing the U.S. Congress and will be coming up as health care dies down. This is going to wind itself up again in the Congress. We are predicting, or the most experts are predicting, that there could be at least 2.4 million more mortgage foreclosures in 2010 than there were last year, and that one-third of all homeowners, that's 16 million people in America, could be underwater or are underwater in America because the mortgages they own are worth less than they were when they bought their homes. And there's a couple of our staff members across the eyeglass pointing themselves saying, yes, I'm one of those people. And many people are in that situation. So what do you do about it? President Barack Obama put $75 billion into a program that some say really doesn't answer the question. It delays it helps people not lose their homes now, but doesn't avoid the crisis coming. Is that true? Is there a better way? And we're going to talk about that and more this hour with our two guests. We are joined for the first time by Joe Ohoyan. Did I say your name right?
Yep, Ohoyan.
Ohoyan, great. Make sure I had that right. Joe Ohoyan, who is Senior Vice President of the Wells Fargo Home Mortgage Community Client Relations Group, and joined in studio again once again by Robert Strupp. Rob Strupp is Director of Research and Policy at the Community Law Center. Rob, good to see you back again.
Good to be back. Thank you.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Or you can log on to Facebook and go to the Mark Steiner Show Facebook page and join the discussion taking place there, and we'll read your comments on the air. 410-319-8888. Want to hear your stories, what you think America should do about the mortgage crisis we face, and what should be our response as a government and a nation, and what your own stories are about what you are facing with your own home mortgages. Perhaps you're even a renter and facing losing your apartment because so many of the buildings around town are being foreclosed on as well, where you rent your places. 410-319-8888. So this show came about because of the emails that Rob and I were having talking about the issues that we're facing, and we were preparing for, of course, meeting Governor Martin O'Malley this Wednesday in Annapolis. This will be one of the questions that we address about what we do about failing the mortgage crisis. So let me ask you both, just looking at in the larger macro question, the stats I read, I don't think there's much dispute about them. Maybe there is. We can talk about that, about at least facing 2.4 million more foreclosures this year and 16 million people, one-third of all homeowners, losing the value of their home so far this year. That's a pretty serious crisis that we face. So how do we address it? Where do we go? Why don't we start with Joe Ohoyan from Wells Fargo. It's the first time you're on the show. Give you a shot first. Go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be
here. Good to have you with us.
And I agree. There are many customers out there, many homeowners out there that are experiencing payment challenges with their mortgage, as well as just overall payment challenges beyond their mortgage. And we're committed to our customers in Baltimore as well in other communities because we know that the Baltimore, D.C. area certainly is not immune to the issue that customers are facing. And it goes well beyond the mortgage, as I mentioned earlier. And there are a number of factors that are impacting our customers. Certainly unemployment and underemployment are a couple factors impacting customers. And let's not forget about the traditional hardships that folks are enduring. It could be a medical issue. It could be a marital issue. And many other activities that really compound the issue, especially when you're underemployed or unemployed. Those seem to be the biggest challenges that our customers are facing today.
Rob?
Well, I agree with Joe. There's multiple factors that are causing the problems today. And I did a little bit of research anticipating coming on tonight. And one of the things that's striking me is how many of the causes of this are beginning with the word you. So I'm kind of calling it the you's word here. And it's quite frankly, it's all pretty ugly. But what's startling me, is, as Joe pointed out, is or what's concerning me is that we're upside down. We have the underemployment problems. We actually have unsecured debt issues as well. And I think while the discussions that have been going on in Prince George's County at the state level with regards to some form of mediation intervention to perhaps assure that we have people who can qualify for loan modifications receiving them, what we really need to do is look at the principal of the loan and do some kind of principal reduction formula, which so far the federal government hasn't taken the lead on, and I think that that's something that they need to do.
Well, the question is, people are arguing that President Obama has taken the lead by putting $75 billion out there to help people reduce their mortgage payments. But so that's the beginning. So.
Well, the problem is that so far what they've been focusing on is payment reduction by way of interest rate reduction or perhaps lengthening the term of a loan, but not dealing with the principal, which is really where the problem lies. And thus far, even as recently as about a week or two ago, Secretary Treasury Geithner is still saying that, no, they're not going to address principal reduction, but many people are advocating that that's what we need to do. I've been talking to folks about perhaps we need to have a congressional hearing to determine why the Treasury won't go that route. I mean, just looking at some of the numbers, I pulled up some statistics today, and as of the end of November, there were 759,000 HAMP trial loans started.
What does that mean?
They initiated some form of trial loan modification under the HAMP formula nationally to 750-some thousand people. But only 31 of those so far have gotten any permanent modifications. So we're still having – that's 4% of all the trial mods are resulting in permanent mods. That's dismal. I think that we need to be looking at how we can get more sustainable loan mods. You alluded to it earlier. Right now, what we're really doing is foreclosure postponement, not foreclosure prevention. And that's what we need to figure out the keys to. And it's going to be an astronomical job. But I think thus far, even the Obama administration hasn't addressed that.
Joe, do you think that is the case? Do you think that the Obama administration needed to go a little bit further in addressing the core problem, principal and other problems, as opposed to just really delaying what's going to be what some people believe the inevitable? A lot of folks are going to lose their homes.
Well, we've long advocated for a program very similar to the government program, the HAMP program, and we were actually part of a collaborative effort to put that program together in cooperation with the administration. What the program does, and we fully support and endorse the program, it does create a sense of standardization when it comes to reviewing customers for loan modifications, and especially in what's a very complex process. It now defines affordability at a certain level, but before we had no defined affordability level, and that's now 31% of debt to income, and also a strict waterfall on how you get there. So we know we now reduce rate first, then we extend term, then principals forbear. So I think we come a long way to create some consistency across different investor segments. At Wells Fargo, we service 9 million loans across the country. It's one out of every six mortgages, of which 80% of those loans are owned by different investors, which creates some complexities when servicing the loans. But the application of the HAMP program, and again, I'll use the abbreviation, again, really creates some standardization across the different investor segments, as well as creates transparency with consumers, third parties that are representing consumers and others on exactly what affordability means and how you actually get there and who qualifies, most importantly.
410-319-8888. We want to hear your stories about your issues with mortgages, your thoughts on how America should address this mortgage crisis. What's the responsibility of the homeowner? What's the responsibility of the banks? What's the responsibility of the government? Where did it start? Why is it here? And how do we deal with it? Because if this, we, as we talked about in the show not long ago, commercial assets in real estate are in real trouble as well in America. That could just be a crisis that makes what we're facing with home mortgages look minuscule. 410-319-8888. Your thoughts and ideas on this. We'll raise some other issues here as well. And one of them is whether there should be a question of principal reduction, which is really going to be one of the battles being fought in Congress this coming year. Your thoughts, 410-319-8888. We're joined by Joe Ohayon, who is Senior Vice President at Wells Fargo, a Home Mortgage Community Client Relations Group, and Rob Strupp, who is Director of Research and Policy at the Community Law Center, joining Anthony McCarthy and I here. 410-319-8888. Jason, you're on the air.
Hello, how you doing?
Well, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Welcome.
Two questions. I get my house reappraised, and it's appraised for less than what I paid for it. How could I get it? How can I get my taxes lower? You know, for the price that it's appraised for now.
You're talking about your property taxes.
Yes.
Right, Rob.
Well, there is a procedure for appealing your property taxes, and I think you can get that information on the State Department of Assessments and Taxation website. I don't have the details here in front of me today, but Jason's raising an important issue because, as we know, there were some articles in the Sun and elsewhere last week that about a third of all the property owners in the state had their properties reassessed recently, and about 97% of those had their properties reassessed downward on average 20%. The problem with that is it just exacerbates this upside-downness situation, because what we now have is people who bought their homes, say, between 2005 and 2008 or refinanced. As we know, vast majority of them did not put any 20% down, maybe 3 to 5% as money was getting a little tighter. You had to put more down in the last couple of years. So a vast majority of those people whose properties were just reassessed are now upside down on their mortgages. I think that's a problem also. But as far as Jason's call is concerned, again, I would say go to the SDAT website for the information on how to do a tax appeal.
Jason, you had a second question? Oh, Jason's gone. Before we go to Sharon, who's the next caller up at 410-319-8888. So, I mean, what about this idea of if one third of Maryland homeowners at this moment, that's only a third of them were reassessed, and if most of those found that their reassessment said that their houses were worth less now than they were when they bought the homes, is it time for America to talk about principal reduction?
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
You know, I think principal reduction is certainly a tool that can be used when necessary. Under the government program, principal reduction is certainly an option on the waterfall, but it falls at the bottom of the waterfall. And I think why it does is you can get to deeper and quicker affordability by reducing rate. So, for example, if your rate is 6% today and under the government program you can reduce it to 2%, that's a deep affordability change in your principal and interest payment versus a principal reduction. The other thing I want to mention is if you look at the waterfall on how to create affordability, it's interest rate reductions, it's term extensions, then it's principal forbearance. And what principal forbearance essentially means is we can set aside a portion of the principal which doesn't accrue interest and becomes due only when the loan pays off, so that your monthly payments recalculated at the shorter or the smaller principal payment. So essentially, you're creating affordability because you're calculating principal and interest on a monthly basis off a reduced unpaid principal balance, which is the same as the principal reduction. The only difference is it's not written off. And that type of arrangement certainly is more palatable, I think, to the investors who hold a lot of the mortgages that are securitized out there. So really, it balances the interest of consumers who are looking for affordability, relief of payment, and some of the payment jobs they're experiencing. But at the same time, it balances the interest of the investor segment as well.
I would just add that there have been some studies that have shown that those borrowers who do receive either the forbearance or the principal reduction have actually fared better in terms of being able to sustain the mod than those who are only getting the interest rate reductions or the term extension. So there is data to support doing something along the lines of either a forbearance or principal reduction. The other thing, going back to what you were talking about, the $75 billion that the Obama administration has put out there, I think, and this will sound a little extreme, is that we ought to be looking at – we still haven't gotten any of that money per se to homeowners. The money goes to the lenders. We keep focusing on that. And if what we should look at is what it would take to actually have the GSEs buying the mortgages from these investor pools, and then the government can control what degree of principal reduction or forbearance it's going to do, and that we should be looking at putting a pool of money aside to do that, and we haven't done that.
One of the things, and let's read you this quote here, then we're going to go to Sharon and Fred, so hold on, we're going to come to both your calls, but I want to kind of let the public wrestle with this and maybe join us with their thoughts as we talk about this hour. Kevin Kattari, who is runs a major hedge fund in San Francisco, said, quote, "We have simply slowed the foreclosure pipeline," talking about President Obama's plan, "with people staying in houses that they are ultimately not going to be able to afford anyway." And he contends banks should be using that have been using these temporary loan modifications on the Obama plan, but it's not an honest accounting of the mortgage losses that are still on their books, and that this is just putting off the inevitable. When Mr. Geithner, our Secretary of Treasury, was asked by the Congressional Oversight Committee about the plan, he said it was a conscious choice we made not to start with principal reduction. We thought it would dramatically be more expensive for the taxpayer, harder to justify, create a greater risk of unfairness. When he was confronted by Elizabeth Warren, who is the chair of that committee, she said, "Are we creating a program in which we're talking about potentially spending $75 billion to try to modify mortgages that reduce the number of foreclosures in the short term, but just to kick the can down the road?" And his response was, good question. So the question I have is this more than a good question? I mean, are we about to face a major crisis that we're afraid to address because of the cost it will be to the banks and the cost it might be to everybody else?
Well, I think we are just kicking the can down the road. I mean, I agree it goes back to this postponement versus prevention issue, and we have this shadow inventory of looming foreclosures out there. I call it the foreclosure bubble. We had the housing bubble. Now we've got a foreclosure bubble that is going to pop here. But when and how big will it get before it does? And I think that Elizabeth Warren is right. We need to address this principal reduction forbearance, and we need to determine what are these costs that Secretary Geithner is referring to that aren't we shouldn't be taking, or what are these risks versus the risks that we're currently taking in just giving these incentives to the servicers and the note holders, but not really dealing with the problem. We're just deferring the problem and just kicking it down the street.
Joe, on the way to the phones, you want to comment on that as well?
Yeah, I think the challenge is really designing an aggressive program that creates relief for the customers who are facing payment challenges, but at the same time balancing moral hazard and preserving, you know, the overall markets as a whole. And I think the HAMP program has certainly done that to an extent. I do think as long as unemployment continue at the levels they are, that's going to be a continued challenge. Principal reduction, no principal reduction, that's something that we're going to have to work collectively as. And one of the things that we've seen since the administration's or the government's program was announced back in February 2009, is it a continued evolvement of the program. It's been enhanced. Multiple directives have come out, and it's changed. And I think we're learning as we go and certainly want to be in a position to make it as ideal and optimal for the American taxpayers as well as the homeowners who are at risk of foreclosure.
410-319-8888 is the number here. We're talking about the foreclosure crisis facing America. We thought it was over. It's not. It's just growing. And we'll talk more about that and how health insurance and health costs are also affecting that in the course of this hour, and some issues that Maryland State's going to address, and how do we address those? 410-319-8888. Let's go to Sharon. You're on the air. You've been waiting a while. You're on. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having my call.
Thank you for calling.
And I'm glad Joe is there because I live in the city of Baltimore, and I do have a Wells Fargo loan. I am just a local person, a single person, and I find like my house is about to be foreclosed. And here are the reasons. The taxes have increased. The value of the house that they put on you has been coupled together, and that is within my loan. Therefore, my mortgage per month has been increased by about $300-$400. So every month I am short. So I would call Wells Fargo. I am late. I am short. I need an extra 15 days to come up with the extra money. You are still being charged a late fee, and I know what my responsibilities are, but that is a hardship that I'm facing, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but other people are facing a shortage of cash each month due to the high taxes and the value of the house and so forth. What I need to know, this is a problem. What I need to know, what are the solutions that can be done to help us? Because if we foreclose on our house, you are coming after me, Wells Fargo or Citibank or whoever it may be that owns the loan. You're going to start foreclosure procedure on me, and then I won't have a house. So I would like to know what needs to be done.
And Stephanie, Sharon, before you go, you still there, Sharon?
Yes.
Okay. We don't have Secretary Skinner on the air with us today. I wish we had. It was my fault when I asked him to come on, but he would have come on. But I would suggest he's also one of our underwriters. Let me give you a telephone number to call, okay? Then I'll let Joe start responding and let Rob kind of fill in as well. It's 1-877-462-7555.
Yeah.
That's the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. Give them a call first thing tomorrow morning.
Okay.
All right, but let me let Joe Ohoyan answer your question.
All right, then I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thank you so much.
Fantastic. Sharon, thanks for the call. Let me answer your question kind of broadly first. Taxes and increases in tax assessments certainly is a factor and can be a factor in someone having challenges making their monthly payment. Tax assessments have gone up across the state, and Sharon, you're not alone. What I would encourage you to do, and it sounds like you've made a step in the right direction, is contacting us, because what we'll do is look at your entire financial picture, which includes looking at your income, your expenses on a monthly basis, as well as other factors to determine what is the appropriate options for you. Because there are a number of options to avoid foreclosure. Just to name a few, we've been talking a lot about loan modifications, which is a restructure of your mortgage and changes one or more terms of your mortgage. But there are other programs that may be available and other options that may be available. Let me also talk about, Sharon, since you're in Baltimore, we're actually in Baltimore right now hosting a home preservation workshop at the Baltimore Convention Center. And we're going to be there through Wednesday, and we have over 200 Wells Fargo team members from across the country that are there supporting the event. And you'll have an opportunity to meet one-on-one with a Wells Fargo representative who can review your particular financial situation and talk through what may be the most appropriate options that exist. We are accepting walk-ins, Sharon, so if you're available to come to the event, again, it's at the Baltimore Convention Center. It's running from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. through Wednesday. We're in Hall F. So I encourage you, again, to come. And things that you'll need at the event include proof of income, so your pay stubs, your expense breakout, a hardship letter, tax returns. The more the documentation that you have, the better chance that we'll be able to provide some type of option for you there. The program is open to all Wells Fargo home mortgage customers, as well as customers who have loans with Wachovia, Wells Fargo Financial, Wells Fargo Home Equity, and American Servicing Company, ASC.
Rob,
I would just add that for those who are inspired by this discussion tonight to want to do something with regard to their mortgage and don't want to wait till tomorrow morning, that they can also go to mdhope.org on the web and get information And if they're not Wells or Wachovia borrowers, that would be another place to go tonight.
Let's get another call in here before we have to go to break at 410-319-8888. Stephanie, I know your cell is running low on batteries. Let's get you on the air. You're on the air.
All right. Thank you. I also need that number that you gave, that 462 number.
I'll give it to you. Yep.
Okay. But, you know, I find this conversation at times, or all of these conversations related to mortgage securities, to be completely offensive, because these securities were protected under the RICO Act. These people who traded them were fully aware of how poorly leveraged they were, of the packages they were putting together. And they continued to get paid for them with their bonuses, that really it's coming out of our money, our taxpaying dollars, and they're wholly unearned. I mean, they talk about having to pay them some crazy income to get the best and brightest on Wall Street, but they haven't proven themselves to be so. And in the meantime, I'm an average working person. I need assistance with my mortgage, with getting a mortgage reduction. I have City Mortgage currently, and they've used every trick in the book to increase my monthly payment. So even after I went through my closing and 5 months later into the mortgage, they send me a letter and they say, oh, by the way, we miscalculated your mortgage and we're going to increase it by $350. I don't have a choice but to pay it. And in the meantime, when I call for a mortgage reduction, I get people in India. I get people who know absolutely nothing about mortgages on City Mortgage, on City Mortgage's end under customer service. I get the complete runaround. No one takes any responsibility for anything. But if I'm late for my mortgage, I'm going to be the one that loses my house.
Sharon, Stephanie, if you want to hold on, you can. We have to go to a break in a minute here, but we're going to wrestle with what you just said. Let me give you the number you asked for. It's 1-877-462-7555, and that's the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. We are going to wrestle with what you said when we come back. So what you said, I think, is profound, and it's fundamental, to what's facing America on both your personal level and the larger national question you raised. So we're going to come back and wrestle with that as soon as we return here. Join us here at 410-319-8888. And Stephanie, good luck. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Stein, and we're talking about the mortgage crisis facing America here and our citizens in Baltimore and Maryland. Please join us here at 410-319-8888. On the way there, I want to remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Stop by one of its 7 branches or go to mecu.com for more information. Of course, that's Monday, so Anthony McCarthy is co-hosting here. You can hear him every Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. right here on WEA, same time slot, same station, same everything. we're joined in studio by Joe Ohayon, who is Senior Vice President of the Wells Fargo Home Mortgage Community Client Relations Program, and Rob Strupp, who is Director of Research and Policy at the Community Law Center. Want to hear your stories here at 410-319-8888. Your stories about your own mortgages, what you think should be done about the crisis facing America and facing Maryland right now. As we said earlier, the statistics are pretty frightening when you think about them, that one-third of all people in America who own homes and hold a mortgage have lost the value of their homes, but not the principal of what it costs to buy their homes. And the question is, what do we do about that, and what do you think we should do about that? At 410-319-8888, Rob Sharp said earlier on this program that one-third of all Marylanders had their homes reassessed, as we all do, and that 90% of those people's homes were now worth less than the day they bought them. 410-319-8888, your thoughts on where we should go with all that, what the state and country should do. Let's talk about what, was it Stephanie? Stephanie, our last caller, raised here at 410-319-8888. By the way, digression, I'm sorry. The number I keep giving out, 1-877-462-7555, Rob Strupp, said during the break he thinks it's maybe a 24-hour hotline, and I think he's right. So don't wait till tomorrow morning. Call now if you have an issue. So when the banks open tomorrow morning, they can help you deal with it. 410-319-8888 is the number here now. But one of the things Stephanie raised, or two things she raised, but let's just talk about A. What she talked about was that, and a feeling many people in America have, is that the banks, with all due respect, got us, helped get us into the mess we're in. And why should they get anything, and why shouldn't the consumer get the largesse as opposed to the banks? I mean, if we hadn't gotten rid of Glass-Steagall and banks, commercial banks, investment banks didn't become one, you couldn't bundle our mortgages and sell them. Before, you had to kind of invest your own money for investment, but now you can begin to bundle our money for your investment. We make nothing on it. Then, and that's what plunges into this crisis, which will be the subject of tomorrow's show, by the way, at 5 o'clock. So let's talk about that. I mean, where does responsibility lie, and what should our response be?
Well, I guess I'll start off. For starters, I have trouble with this moral hazard concern that's being articulated, and Joe mentioned it a little while ago. For one thing, and it's a little bit off the subject, but only slightly, some of the subsidiaries, Wall Street subsidiaries and banking subsidiaries themselves right now, are walking away from huge debt obligations that they have on commercial properties and other investments. They're walking away. So where's the moral hazard when it's a borrower that's walking away from a debt obligation? I don't really understand that. That double standard. But the other part of it is, and whether or not we all agree, and many of us don't, that there was a lot of these, most of this crisis that we're in was due to deception of homeowners and the ability for them to understand the obligations that they were undertaking. There's dispute as to that, and some people accept it and some people don't. I don't think it's disputed anywhere that the information that the bank had the information on the borrower. The bank knew how much this borrower made, what their jobs were. It was all in a file. And the bank sells the loan to somebody else and has to give them the file, and that's the investor. And the investor then sells this off to Wall Street tranches. At all times along the way, the file was there. I call it analogous to when you buy a used car and you have a warranty for 90 days or 30 days or whatever it is. You're not going to rely just on the warranty. You're going to open up that hood and look to see whether there's an engine under there. So why would none of these investors, lenders, insurers, AIGs, all the way up the pole to Wall Street, nobody bothers to look into the file and see whether how this hairdresser could possibly be making $500,000 a year and buy this million-dollar house? It doesn't make any sense. So to me, the moral hazard issue is, come on, you knew from the get-go that this borrower could not possibly sustain this mortgage. And what we have here is we're giving money to these same people who didn't open the hood, but we're not giving the money to the homeowner. And that just doesn't make any sense. And that, to me, is the real moral issue.
Joe, would you like to comment?
You know, the mortgage market with the secondary market being out there, it's a complex process, and I think some of the contractual obligations that exist on a lot of the, especially the private loans that were securitized in the 2004 to the 2007 timeframe, creates a challenge as far as what you can and can't do with a particular mortgage. I do think, again, I mentioned earlier with the government's program, that we at least have some standardization with respect to helping customers. It doesn't overlook any type of prohibition that exists within a contract, because it's part of an agreement, and it's something that we're challenged with as servicers. But I do think we have been collectively working well to want to understand what the complexity is, but more importantly, develop a tool knowing the constraints that the structures have to offer some semblance of assistance to customers. I mean, just looking at our numbers for the 2009 through November, I mentioned we talked about hemp and hemp production. We approve customers under trial or complete a modifications under the government's program in a tune of 100,000 or so loans. But we did three times as many, over 300,000 non-HAMP solutions. So that's 400,000 loan modifications, either trial or completed, that we did in 2009 through November. So there are structures that are being put in place, and there are options that are being made for customers. But the mortgage structure themselves does create some complexities and challenges that do exist and that we have to deal with.
Let me open the phone check and see if anybody has anything
Well, the only thing I'll say about the challenges is what I was suggesting earlier before, is that one way to deal with the challenges is, in my opinion, is to have the government look at how it can buy up and collect these notes. And if you make an analogy to a toxic piece of real estate, we call them toxic mortgages, you don't leave them out there. You actually want to collect them and you want to clean them up. And I think the government is where that has to be done. And if you're going to throw $75 billion at the banks, then maybe you need to throw it at actually collecting up these mortgages and cleaning them up.
Have the government do that.
Absolutely.
That's an interesting notion. Let's explore that some more in a minute. 410-319-8888. And also a lot of people are writing in on Facebook, and I'll read those in a moment. Or join us here by phone. And Donna, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Donna.
Good evening. I'm sorry. Well, the reason why I'm calling, because I have the opposite problem. My mortgage is on time. I put the 20% down. I read all the financial disclosures. I have never had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still with a credit union. I won't give out the name. But one thing that really irritated me, my husband and I both make a payment each month.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll do one, I'll do one, because we get paid opposite weeks. And recently, the credit union told us that you cannot keep continuing to pay two mortgages. You know, so right now we're caught all the way up to April. I said, why? I said, but if we was 2 months behind, you would have a problem with this. And they said, because the system is not set up for that. I said, first of all, there's no prepayment penalty law in Maryland. And frankly, I get agitated when I hear about these people with these loan reductions, because I did everything the right way. We put our 20% down. We bought a home that we could afford. We put a child through college, and we got one going through medical school right now. It's ridiculous. So it's like the people who didn't do right, they get a bailout. But for people who did it right, we can't get any break. And the thing of it is, if somebody else has screwed up their mortgage, that affects my property value. And right now, it's not, you know, it's gain, but I don't know how much longer that'll hold up.
Yeah, let's talk about the both things you raised. I mean, the first thing is I've never heard of not being able to pay more on your mortgage or do it in advance. Can a bank tell you not to do that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think you have the ability to do a principal curtailment, or even many banks offer biweekly payments, which sounds like Donna was trying to make. So I really can't comment on what other banks do. But certainly many do offer biweekly payments as well as principal curtailments, which is essentially an additional principal payment that you're making.
Well, it sounded more like what she was just trying to do is pay the months in advance, and she seems to be paid up through April. So February, March, and April are already paid. But somehow or other, for whatever reason, this credit union is not able to continue to deal with these prepaid months. Hmm. I would, you know, my first thought was to perhaps contact the main office of the credit union and try and figure out what you can do there rather than just the branch, because they're the ones who have the systems people.
Now, how would you respond to her second part, Rob Strupp, about somebody who feels they put 20% down, done all the right things? And
well, that is clearly an issue. People are saying, you know, what about me? Well, I think we have to remember and actually our caller pointed it out that the people who are struggling, again, whether it's because they were deceived or whether because they rolled the dice, the fact of the matter is that we have these huge numbers of properties going into foreclosure, including potentially her neighbors. And when her neighbors' properties go into foreclosure, it's going to bring the value of the house down. So there is an interest in a societal community interest, if you will, in preventing foreclosures, which thereby will keep property values from further imploding. And I think we all benefit from that. So I think that's something that needs to be kept in mind.
I want to ask you, Joe, and I'm not sure how much you can actually comment on this because of the possibility of ongoing litigation. But the city of Baltimore is making an argument that these loans that Wells Fargo, they use the word redlined, giving loans to people who cannot afford these homes that ultimately go into foreclosure, that there is a direct cause and effect for the city of Baltimore because they lose tax revenue and a lot of other things. What's the official position? Because I'm sure that's what you're going to give us, the official position of Wells Fargo, that there is no cause and effect by these deceptive loans, this is what they're calling them, that were approved by Wells Fargo for folks who really could not afford them, but then the city is left to clean up what they consider to be a horrible, horrible mess left behind by these folks who lose their homes, lose their ability to, whether they're unemployed or they're underemployed, that there's a direct impact by the decisions made in your bank's offices to the revenue that they can generate there at City Hall.
Right. And as we know, the the U.S. District Court dismissed the case last week. You know, I think our position on is we've consistently maintained the same position, which is that the I guess the economic problems that the city is facing certainly couldn't be attributed to the small number of foreclosures that Wells Fargo has in the city. You know, we've had that position from the beginning, and we continue with the same position. And we were pleased last week when the court's decision rejects the city's claim and their point of view on that.
Well,
thoughts, Rob, then we'll go back to the phones.
Actually, with regard to that, what it appears from the judge's ruling is that the judge was concerned with regards to the evidence of the consequences,
the effect. That's right.
And in fact, invited the city to amend the complaint, which they announced that they're going to do. And in no way did the judge's ruling, from what I've read, have any discussion with regards to the allegations themselves. So I think we need to bear that in mind. And the complaint is being amended, and it'll be refiled. I think it has to be done by some early February.
410-319-8888. We're looking at the looming mortgage crisis in America and in Maryland, what we should do about it. Of course, we will be talking to Governor Martin O'Malley about that Wednesday. I encourage you all to come to Annapolis to join us live there. Just go to steinershow.org and find out how. Free parking, shuttle bus right there, breakfast, and a conversation with the governor on the future of the state. 410-319-8888. For a conversation now on the future of our mortgages here in Maryland in the United States of America. You can join us here live online or write to us live on the air, 410-319-8888. Write to us online at steinershow@gmail.com or log on to Facebook, and I'll read some of the people writing in now with very interesting comments on Facebook. Let's first go to Manny in Randallstown. You're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Manny.
Let me start off by saying that I know pretty much about this because I'm in the industry, and I'll just leave it like that. And there's something that's being missed in all the conversation that's going about. And I'm going to go back to when this all began, the frenzy. The loans that were given to people were never approved by Wells Fargo or Bank of America or any of the brick-and-mortar banks. They were approved by and processed by these boutique lenders who went to these seminars that were given by Wells Fargo or other banks, showing them the products they had. Now, the boutique lender is the one who looked the other way on no docs or low docs or even committed fraud. But Wells Fargo, by having them between them, kind of relieve themselves from the responsibility of checking it. But, you know, not one conversation in the country have I heard, and I travel all over the country because I'm a national person in the industry, have I heard of anyone in a boutique shop that was called in to give testimony or prosecuted or any question on any level by anybody. And I can name dozens or maybe hundreds of these people who would call people and say, look, I can get you a loan, and know the people didn't qualify, and they know they could submit it, and they know the bank would look the other way. Now, you know, just like in the street, if you buy illegal anything in the street, if you do anything fraudulent in the street, guns, drugs, prostitution, they leapfrog from the small guy up to the kingpin. No one has said, well, look, let's get some of these lower-level people, these boutiques, a lot of them are gone.
All right. Well, let me just ask our guest to comment on that. What about these boutique places that he's talking about, Rob?
Well, I'm assuming he's referring to mortgage brokers as opposed to mortgage lenders. And I think Maryland very aggressively addressed this issue in 2008 by the legislature, expanding the mortgage fraud laws, and that certainly helped curtail some of what the caller is talking about. I also think that many of these mortgage brokers are now out of business. Some of them are doing other things. We find that, you know, some of the people who are doing subprime lending are now FHA-approved lenders, for example, and that's a whole nother problem. But a number of them have, you know, have gone by the wayside. But I'm not sure that I follow exactly that none of them have been called upon to testify, for example, either on the Hill or in trials, because a number of mortgage brokers have been prosecuted for some of their fraud.
And
the
case is going on right now here in Maryland that way as well.
Exactly.
410-319-8888. Before we get to Mary, our next caller, let me just read some things that came online that are interesting. Well, we had one person writing in on Facebook, if I get my computer straight here, too many computers at one time. Jeffrey writes in, he said, "We're underwater on our mortgage. Yeah, all that time and money, I put in amounts for nothing. It feels just great." Rachel Rabinowitz writes in, "People need to accept the current fair market value is not necessarily the same as what they paid or the debt they owe. That's the toughest pill to swallow because everyone wants to be the exception, and I don't blame them one bit. I work in real estate auctions." What about that comment? How do you respond to that?
I live in Maryland and certainly have seen the good days and where we are today from a collateral standpoint. Yes, a lot of collateral has depreciated and our homes are worth less than they were a year or two ago. And, that's kind of where we are today. And as far as what it means from a customer's making payments on a monthly basis, it certainly hasn't changed the behavior of a number of our customers and customers out there. They still pay their monthly basis payments and continue with that. We do encourage customers who are experiencing payment challenges for whatever reason, even if they're current, to pick up the phone and call their lender looking for what options may be available to them.
Bob, what do you say to people? Because I know we did a show similar to this several months ago, and people were calling in and they're saying, why are we subscribing something sinister to Wells Fargo and these other financial institutions? Why can't we say without a lot of retribution that maybe people got in over their head? The market is struggling. Everybody's struggling. Every industry is facing these things. But it seems like Congress and President Obama and a lot of other people seem to want to believe that there was some intent to really put homeowners and a lot of these the folks who took out these loans in this kind of trouble. Where do you see that? And I'm sure you have to hear that, just like Stephanie when she called and she said, look, I'm doing it right. And Wells Fargo isn't doing anything to me other than accepting my payment.
Well, I think there is danger in generalizing either way. And, to say all lenders are evil or all borrowers are saints is clearly a dangerous mistake to make. And I would never make it. But I think that there are a vast number of these loans were not sustainable. They weren't sustainable either because of who they were made to or the nature of the product.
Term, yeah.
And this is a complex situation that the lending industry was certainly made aware of, and that's arguable to what extent and they were accountable for it. But I was thinking more in terms of the question that came off the email just a moment ago, in terms of some of these issues, and I'm kind of losing my thought, but I think that the problem here is that the borrowers do have some accountability, but really the products themselves were pushed upon them, and were people said they wanted a fixed rate loan, and somebody, one of these boutique lenders, if you will, would be saying, "Well, I can get you a loan for a lower rate." Some of this gets into the issues of some of the claims that are out there in some of the litigation. But the problem is that homeowners who were not necessarily as savvy as the industry were directed into some of these things.
I wish we had time for these callers coming in, because one caller we didn't touch on the subject is about wants to ask a question: is there anything that can be done about foreclosures? And why don't you very quickly talk about the proposal you think the state should pick up on?
Well, I'm not sure which proposal we've talked about, but I'm still pushing, advocating that there should be an encouragement by the state as part of the legislation that will be introduced, I guess, shortly after the session begins, with regards to some sort of mediation type effort. That there needs to be this. A principal reduction component, and that the state should be urging Congress to look into that.
And very quickly, Joe, you want to just plug your event one last time?
I do. Thank you, Mark. Again, we are at the Baltimore Convention Center through Wednesday. It's a home ownership preservation workshop. It's designed to help customers who are experiencing payment challenges with their mortgage. And it's our customers who have loans with Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, Wachovia, Wells Fargo Financial, Wells Fargo Home Equity, as well as America Servicing Company. We're going to have over 200 representatives at the event. Walk-ins are welcome, and we encourage you to please come to the Baltimore Convention Center starting 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. both tomorrow and Wednesday.
And as we wind up here, I want to remind you all to join us this Wednesday morning, 7:30 a.m. in Annapolis. Go to steinershow.org, click on the Annapolis Summit icon. There's free parking. Baltimore Business Journal, the Mark Steiner Show,
it's
here
be
at WEA.
A great event.
Bringing the governor, president of the Senate, and Speaker of the House, your chance to ask them your questions about the future of this state. So please do that. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. Thank Anthony McCarthy, our guest Joe Ohayan, and Rob Struff for being in studio. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producer is Justin Levy. We're engineered today by Brian Boone. Our interns are Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, Richard Good, Gabe Pinder, and Marianne Amos. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.